From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The latest national poll of voter preferences for the Democratic Party primary shows former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg jumping 15 percentage points to second place in the race. Bloomberg has surged past former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Elizabeth Warren to poll at 19% support now. He has spent hundreds of millions of his own dollars on ad buys around the country, blanketing television stations and online spaces with his face. But as journalists dig into his past, Bloomberg's own crass statements and right-wing policies have sown some doubt. Yet a growing number of progressive and liberal organizations and individuals have puzzlingly endorsed Bloomberg for president. The New York Times over the weekend explained why. Bloomberg has spent billions of dollars supporting causes over many years, and organizations beholden to his charitable giving may be worried about crossing their largest funder. My guest is Beth Rotman. She is the Money in Politics and Ethics Program Director for Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Beth.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So the Times article focused on one organization. This is Emily's List. This is a pro-choice organization that for years has been active in politics. Can you tell us a little bit about why Emily's List ended up not wanting to cross Bloomberg and how that's a worrying issue in the election at large?
Well, I think we have really a perfect storm of the challenges that are facing us right now in America when it comes to money and politics, because we've dealt with the issue of multimillionaires and even billionaires running for office over the years. We've also had a lot of discussions about uber wealthy donors, but honestly, we are in new territory now with Mayor Bloomberg, who is really both, all in one. So we're seeing somebody who has a lot of the leverage of one of the wealthiest donors out there, who's done, honestly, some pretty impressive work on gun control, climate change, and healthcare, things that everyday Americans are clamoring for, and which, quite frankly, we shouldn't need billionaires to take care of for us, but in many ways we do. And now he is running for office.
And he's so also, of course, responsible for many other disturbing things that Americans would not be happy about, such as the stop and frisk policies in New York. And also there are many allegations of sexual harassment in his organization and possibly himself with himself as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't mean to imply that this is an easy case. All I'm pointing out is this is a really hard case from every way you look at it, because it is challenging our already deeply broken system of money and politics, because you have somebody who's an Uber donor and a billionaire candidate all in one, and somebody who is responsible for the budget of many organizations, and those organizations are not going to speak out against him because they can't afford to criticize their major donor.
So what the Times pointed out was that while he has spent something, you know, $200 to $300 million on ad buys in this campaign, more money than any other candidate, and especially considering that it is, well, any other Democratic candidate, especially considering that it is coming out of his pocket, that sum is still dwarfed by how much he has given to organizations over many years through charitable giving. This is a really important issue for nonprofits in general, right, Beth? When you have funders who give the bulk, who donate, you know, to you, and the bulk of your budget comes from one funder, and so your entire existence depends on that foundation's funding, you tend to tiptoe around criticizing them.
It's true. I mean, I think that what we see with the level of funding that Bloomberg offers is we actually see that he is paying for a lot of functions that in some other countries would be provided by the government. I mean, when you talk about these organizations in the U.S., we usually talk about nonprofits, but as somebody who spent years abroad, everybody calls them either governmental or non-governmental. But a lot of times the functions are the same. So you see somebody here in Bloomberg that is actually given his promised personal fortune to cover functions that in many other countries might be covered by the government. And it puts him in an entirely different league when organizations are in a position of basically choosing whether to say something or not, because he absolutely has a complicated record, like for many years in public service. He's done a lot of good. He's done a lot of controversial things as well, some not good things. So, you know, ultimately, these organizations are going to choose to stay silent because they can't afford, they can rationalize it by saying, well, you know, we do a lot of good. And if we don't get our $6 million from Bloomberg, then we can't do those things. So people are really stuck right now. I know there are a lot of people who will tell me, as somebody who works in money and politics, and some of them will only tell it sort of off the record, but he is really a tough case. People will tell me, look, you know, I want to fix the system, but right now within this broken system, you know, I hope he wins. They're not going to say it publicly, but some of them will say it off the record. They'll say it privately to me. So he is really a tough case for people. He is really tough.
Are people, individuals and organizations that make formal endorsements of presidential candidates obligated to disclose that they're getting their money from, you know, the same person that they're endorsing?
Well, I will say that in many cases, they're not. But it has, that is one area where I could see reform coming out after this particular campaign. There have been a lot of discussions that there should be disclosure. Certainly there's been a lot of coverage because it's Bloomberg and it's so much money. So one could argue that we have more disclosure here than we normally would have of the contributions that might be influencing an endorsement. That said, they're not laws. You'd have to disclose contributions that are made to support some sort of official government action, but an endorsement is not an official government action. So, and that's when a political figure is making the endorsement. Certainly when a nonprofit is doing it, they do have to disclose their donors to a certain extent. It's not really hidden when you look on their tax forms who some of their major donors are, but again, you know, here we have quite a bit of disclosure, but the issue is really what kind of quid pro quo is being created, and is there really a free flow of ideas when there's so many millions of dollars at stake here for the organizations who are being asked their opinion?
Bloomberg is one of the world's richest people. He remains the eighth richest man in the world. He has more than $50 billion. Brookings Institution pointed out that although he's been giving money for years, it wasn't until 2018, where he outspent every other billionaire philanthropist, giving away $3.3 billion. That's nearly five times more than he did in 2017. They called it his tactical philanthropy. One might suspect that he was getting ready for a presidential run by pouring this much money into the coffers of nonprofits. It certainly looks suspicious, right?
Well, I think, you know, that is definitely, it's definitely possible, although I know, I think an equal number of people that think that his not entering the race the last time around was meant that he didn't really want to, and that his entering so late seemed to show that this wasn't really his preferred course of action. It's of course, difficult to know what somebody's intent is. But that's also why when we talk about the link in money and politics between money and influence, we're really looking at the appearance of influence. And there's definitely a tremendous appearance here that whether he wanted it or not, he has a ton of influence. He's had it in terms of some positive changes and impacting policy. But of course, if your major donor wouldn't want something to happen or come out a certain way, they also hold sway that way, at least with nonprofits. So it's really, really a challenge. And I'll say that as somebody who's worked in the world of public campaign financing, starting in New York City, when Bloomberg was spending $100 million to run for mayor back in the early 2000s, I will say that I do see the only real impactful change to be made here is to fix our very broken presidential public financing system and to pass a system for the congressional races, because we cannot leave it that we have a system of competing billionaires deciding who can control this country and who can run for office.
And I'm so glad you brought up his mayoral run, because it does in many ways mirror his presidential bid. It was, I believe, at that time the most money anybody had ever spent on a mayoral race, especially, you know, out of one's own pocket. He did run as a Republican. He only became a Democrat in 2018, by the way. And just going back to the New York Times story, I just want to complete the story of Emily's List for our audience. Essentially, this story focused on a dilemma that Emily's List faced in the year 2018 around the confirmation battle over Brett Kavanaugh, when Dr. Christine Blasey Ford came forward to, in a public testimony, tell what had happened to her at his hands when they were in high school. And at that time, Mike Bloomberg, who was funding Emily's List quite generously, criticized the hashtag MeToo movement and questioned sexual misconduct allegations against several prominent men. And they and Emily's List decided that they could not withdraw an invitation for him to come and speak at their event in spite of his criticism, because he was giving them so much money. And when he spoke at that event, he said he was going to be putting more money into supporting women candidates this cycle than any individual ever has before. In effect, you know, affirming their decision to allow him to speak after all. I mean, he just sounds like he's buying influence.
Well, I think that that really is, in a nutshell, what's so wrong with our system of money and politics right now. People are buying influence. I think that the wealthy donors have an outsized influence on our process. The billionaires are the ones who are able to run for office. And the same major donors that are funding our non-governmental organizations, our nonprofits, are the same ones that have the ability to control the purse string on whether all these positive policy programs are carried out. And it can certainly also keep them from being criticized when they do something wrong. So while one can, I don't know, sympathize, empathize, sort of understand that an organization is going to be afraid to lose their budget, it also shows you how critical it is to change the system.
Isn't it the party itself as well that's beholden to Bloomberg, the Democratic Party, since Bloomberg, you know, switched allegiances, switched parties, has helped the Democratic Party with campaign donations to help elect more Democrats, even though when he was a Republican, he actually poured money into helping Republicans elect lawmakers. But he has spent, according to the New York Times, there has not been a more important donor to the Democratic Party than Mike Bloomberg. So even the party itself is beholden to him, and you could imagine would feel a lot of pressure against criticizing the way he's pushing himself into the race.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that absolutely right now, in a system where politics costs so much money and money is able to lead to outcomes, we have an extremely troubling set of perfect storm circumstances here, where money is able to, of course, give people the real ability to get their message out and dwarf the messages of other people. Sometimes that's for candidates that are going to get in office and do really good things. Sometimes this could be for candidates that want to get into office and just work in their own self-interest. That's why ultimately we have to radically transform a system and have a system of citizens-owned elections where everyday Americans are actually giving small donations, and those donations are matched by our government, so that when candidates are elected for office, they're able to represent all of us. Then we also have a government who is more free from special interest influence, and the government can be funding more of these causes like equal rights, women's rights, gun control, healthcare, etc. So it really isn't coming down to the benevolence of competing billionaires, because right now we are in a fundamentally broken system. And that's what we need to work to fix.
Right. Another example, like the Emily's List one, was the Center for American Progress. It's a liberal organization that receives a lot of funding from Bloomberg. In 2015, some researchers at the organization did a report on anti-Muslim bias in the US, and it had a chapter, the original draft had a chapter about how New York City police surveilled Muslim communities. Bloomberg was mentioned 8 times in that chapter. And when it was finally published, the chapter was missing and Bloomberg's name was nowhere to be seen. And what the Times suggested was that it's not that they found any evidence of actual coercion by Bloomberg, but the money was so large that it had what they call a gravitational force that was so powerful that it made coercion unnecessary. So that's just pretty remarkable. I mean, he's basically got limitless resources, compared to the 99% of Americans, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's also the issue that organizations accepting these and relying on these grants have discretion in what they do and what they say and whether they invite or uninvite him to speak. And that's really part of the challenge is that, it can be difficult to actually prove, I don't know, quid pro quo. But ultimately, when you have the appearance of so much influence, I don't think that anybody is really denying, including Bloomberg himself, that he is putting money in the game, skin in the game to impact policy outcomes for the better. That's what people spending millions of dollars to try to push various policy reforms are doing. In some cases, those might be reforms that are great for everyday Americans, and sometimes they may not be. But that's why the only real answer is to fix the system, because if we're having to have these battles of competing millionaires and billionaires, then we just have to hope that it's one we like more and one we like better and one that doesn't like guns. And that's a really, really troubling place for us to be right now in America.
How much do we know about the disclosures that Bloomberg may be not making about his charitable giving? I mean, if you are giving to charity and if you're giving politically, there are quite complex rules about disclosing the, where you're giving your money. And the New York Times pointed out that they found billions of dollars in donations under the Bloomberg Philanthropies umbrella that had not been previously disclosed or itemized, corporate giving by his company, Bloomberg LP, and from his personal checkbook. So, first question, as far as you know, has it all been disclosed? Second question, if he does become president, wouldn't the Democrats, who have made such a big deal about Trump's hiding of his finances, now be in a really tight spot about Bloomberg? Because, we now have these this situation where which we've never had before then, with all of these billionaires and all their business dealings that create massive conflicts of interest. It just would put the Democrats in a pretty tough spot if he became president.
Well, I do think that one of the things that Common Cause has been involved with on behalf of our 1.2 million members, and we've been doing it in coalition with other organizations, is to ask for really, we've been calling it the first 100 days, but we really think it's the first 10 days, a series of executive orders and actions that would repair and restore some of the transparency that we have lost in the Trump administration. Certainly before the Trump administration, we saw presidents divest themselves of a lot of their entities and organizations. We saw them more transparent with their taxes. So, I mean, I think those are the kinds of questions that we have to ask all of these candidates and have to hold Bloomberg to a much higher standard and much higher standard than what Trump has lived up to, which certainly wouldn't be hard, but we want to go back to really much higher standards. But I think, yes, I think ultimately it's a good thing that Bloomberg's spending is under the microscope right now. But I think that by all accounts, in many ways, Bloomberg has wanted to be more public with his spending than some other major donors. I think that we do know more. I don't know that we know it all, but we know more about his spending because he has been more overt about the fact that he wants to elect various candidates, impact policy changes. He has not wanted it to be secret. There are ways, as you pointed out absolutely correctly, that candidates can try to sort of hide the money and make it difficult. But in his case, I think he's actually been quite open overall in that he wants to influence various policy changes and be a major donor for all sorts of organizations. So in that way, I think we know a lot of what he's done.
He has also qualified for the Democratic Party's next debate, which takes place later this week. And in fact, many have criticized the Democratic Party for essentially changing the rules to allow him to participate, or changing the rules in such a way that it just happened that Bloomberg was able to now qualify. He is, initially it was required that you needed to have a certain number of donors. Now it's just a matter of having baseline poll numbers, which he has made. Bloomberg has actually not been that interested in debates, but he has said he will show up, or his campaign announced that he would show up for the debate. It'll be interesting to see how he performs in a debate, and it'll be interesting to see if other candidates challenge him around the money that he has used to, finance his own campaign, buy ads. So far, it only seems that Senator Bernie Sanders has taken on this issue because other candidates, like the entire party, has sort of remained a bit silent on challenging him on this, on the use of his massive funds. Well, let me ask you this finally, Beth,
sure.
In terms of where you would like to see a candidate like Bloomberg go in terms of being as honest and fair as possible in the absence of proper regulation to, in the absence of better campaign finance laws, for example, what would you, if you were giving Bloomberg advice, tell him to do, how would you advise him on how he should spend his money or not spend his money in this election to avoid looking terribly unethical?
So we have a perfect example with Mayor Bloomberg that after he was elected in office in New York City, he was also a self-funded multimillionaire candidate who challenged the system, but he worked together with the New York City Campaign Finance Board to create a more transparent system and to require everybody who was seeking a contract with New York City to disclose their contributions. Then those contributions were basically treated differently. They were not matched with public campaign dollars as part of the New York City public campaign financing system. And he became part of a pretty sweeping reform in what's called as pay-to-play or doing business contributions. So I would love to ask Mayor Bloomberg if he is committed to doing something on the federal level to fix the broken system that even if he's going to spend his millions to get elected into office, I would like to hear from him that he's willing on day one to start doing what he can, first by executive order and after that by legislation and cooperation with the Congress to fix the broken system from the FEC down to updating the presidential public financing system and working with Congress to reform the congressional system.
Well, Beth, I appreciate that suggestion. That's great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for Common Cause.
Yes, it's www.commoncause.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our site as well. Thanks so much, Beth.
Thank you.
My guest has been Beth Rotman. She is the Money in Politics and Ethics Program Director for Common Cause. We've been discussing Mike Bloomberg's candidacy and how he has bought so much influence. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.